Oh, you know. And everything began to change. Now, some of you have lived through this. Some of you remember the family ties. Most Americans do not even live in a city with relatives today. Some of us can remember the day of the great neighborhood. I feel like I grew up in that day. I see Charles Hightower out here, and Charles is my across-the-street neighbor. And there are about six families right in our neighborhood. And we did everything together. You see, none of our moms work outside the home, so they'd get together every morning, sip coffee together. We had a birthday party. It was for the whole neighborhood. Christmas party, it was the whole neighborhood. Now, for my parents, all of those families moved from that neighborhood. That's still their best friends. But most people don't live in that day today. We truly live in suburbia. Philip Langdon, the editor of Progressive Architecture, said this, that America has become primarily a suburban nation. But then he says this, but not a very happy one. I think he's right. And think about another transition. Think about what's happened in churches. Where a few years ago, you had community churches with a sense of community where we even called each other brothers and sisters. Everybody was there together, lived in that neighborhood. Church was the center of life. You know, it wasn't a few generations ago that you could have a two-week revival and people would attend every night. Why? Because the church was the best thing going. It was your social outlet. It was your entertainment. It was everything. And so those were your closest friends. Now, if we're not careful today, no longer are we a community of brothers and sisters. We become simply a collection of individuals who happen once or twice a week to meet under the same roof. No longer are those close-knit neighborhood churches what makes up churches today. How many of you passed a few church buildings on your way today? I passed seven. I've figured out there's at least six churches of Christ closer to my house than when I come to. Of course, they don't pay me to come. But you know, you've got all, and no longer is everybody, you know, together. And so we come here, if we're not careful, as a loose collection of individuals. What do we do about that? I want us to go back to the dream this morning. Let's go to Acts chapter 2. And let's look what happened in the first century. When a loose collection of people all of a sudden found themselves as Christians. Now, we say, well, we shouldn't have a big church. My goodness, guys, this was a church of 3,000 overnight. They've come from all over the world. They find themselves in Jerusalem. They become Christians, and what seems to happen is they hang out for a while. Now, what was that church like? I love this picture. I never cease to read these verses without getting excited. Let's start in verse 42, Acts chapter 2. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke their bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Now, what a contrast from the kind of society and the kind of churches that we build in America today, the kind of church we see back here. You see, my challenge for us today